So, dear podcast affiliates, dear listeners, welcome to this episode. This might or might not be Tischlein deck dich 195 or TSY DSCC 16. Let's decide later. Like last time, I announced it would be a TDD, Tischlein deck dich, but then I realized that I think I talked entirely in English, so therefore it should be a TSY. Table set yourself. So people, I gotta tell you again about Instagram, of course. That I recorded today 3 or 4 more videos and being there out in the lunch break in the park, and yeah, what can I say? As I said in these videos, it makes me feel kind of, yeah, like becoming myself, becoming a real civil person, and finally feeling like, yeah, I'm like everybody else, right? There's nothing that bad about me that would create an abyss, a trench between me and the others, as maybe I always thought that somehow there's something weird about me. But in those videos, yeah, this weirdness maybe comes out and is transformed into something artistically valuable, and I like this. I use a lot of gestures, I mean excessively using gestures there. And gotta say, yeah, yeah, so maybe I buy tomorrow, I'm gonna buy a selfie stick to be really professional. I guess, yeah, that's more comfortable, not holding this cell phone all the time. And then maybe, yeah, some more gear, but I think I've got it all good to go, just that those videos are filling up my disk space, my hard drive on my cell phone, so therefore that's a little annoying. I need to find a solution for this. It's almost full. I have so many audiobooks and podcasts there, stashed there, downloaded. Yeah, so this is the only problem for now, but as to the content itself and the concept of being there on Instagram for my followers, once chasing after me, or yeah, looking after me and my output, my feet, I feel great about this and feel, wow, this is a whole new dimension I entered, and it feels like 100 years away that this Friday was the first day that I discovered this and didn't even think about it, plan it, just felt, no, this is too annoying here, being all alone at the office, this can't go on for another 2 or 3 hours. Therefore I had to grab the cell phone, my video camera and mic, and the built-in mic, I guess. Yeah, it's kind of okay, although I have to tune up the volume to understand it clearly, but it's kind of okay for now. And my boss, you already promised me to get me a new phone. I mean, it's a business phone I use. Yeah, this is the whole problem, then business and private life are totally intermingling and flowing together, and this is of course not so great, but still, I mean, yeah, take what you get. So I wonder, did you ever wonder about why is it that I'm just looking up a word here. But what I was wondering about, what is verschwimmen in German? Verschwimmen doesn't have to do with swimming, just that everything is kind of flowing together, like in this Don Quixote picture I showed you on my YouTube channel. To grow hazy, become blurred. Grow hazy, become blurred. Interesting. So the line is becoming blurred between private and business and work once you have this cell phone from work. But okay, I'm drifting apart here, wandering freely, because I'm a little reluctant to enter those subjects, because, yeah, I mean, it's 1,000 years away this Friday. Feels like I've been on Instagram forever. Can't even imagine, like, how was my life without Instagram. And, so therefore, I also feel now I'm a little shaky and questioning myself, what am I really doing here? Am I really still a real podcaster, or still that committed to this form of art or of media? But no, just let's go. Let's start this program with the notes that I took, because yeah, didn't even want to make a recording today, but then I felt, I don't know what I felt. I saw a story that my dear roommate had posted on Instagram, a story about the war in Ukraine and the destruction, Russian missiles sitting there, and also you, dear Winter colleague, you also posted something about the war and three girls getting killed who were singing there in a Ukrainian street, but then got killed, it said in the story. And yeah, I understand you, but I also find it not so good to be replicating this content, because this is war content, and in a way we're all affirming it. This is what I explained. We're all jacked up about it, also I, and like to talk about it here. But then to just see those pictures, I mean, yeah, there's so many wars going on the world, and only the bits and bytes the media gives you to consume will enter your conscience. And I don't mean to downplay this war. This is very critical and very devastating and cruel that people are dying there in Ukraine. But still, I just don't feel that this is so great, like being so serious. You know, this is exactly stabilizing the system, the discourse here in Germany, everything so serious. And this has to do with my parents' position that everything is okay. And while we stay that serious and the lines are clear, who's bad, who's good, like Putin is bad because he's sending those missiles, then nothing can change. Everything is locked, at least in the discourse and in the mental area. The conception, it's not even possible to think about peace talks. But I don't know what you feel about this, dear roommate, because I suspect somehow that you might be also a Bolshevik, because I heard you talking sometime about this, or just grasped this word. Of course, you talk in Russian. And yeah, there I grasped some words. You said something about Bolshevism and sounded great, sounded like you were affirming this project, but never mind. We could discuss it sometimes, or not. I mean, you don't even have to react to my podcast. I don't even know if you're listening, just that, yeah, I saw you there on Instagram, sometimes liking my pictures. And the thing is, the problem is that all my friends and acquaintances react in the same way to my podcast. They just don't react at all. They're maybe too overwhelmed, and only certain people, like my ex-girlfriend, give me feedback, or even my mother. Well, some 2 years ago when I started, I showed it to her, but nowadays she doesn't listen, hopefully. So yeah, this I value a lot, appreciate it, but it's kind of normal that people don't even know what to say, and it's okay. And so, and it's kind of also an irony or a demonstration, illustration of a bigger problem, the big scheme being in place, that we all are too scared even to talk to our neighbors or to look them in the eye, in the face, to our fathers or friends, to tell them our real opinion, like about politics, like the pandemics. This was crucial that, yeah, I sense this. And I feel also a lot of contempt, let's say this, for those other podcasters, also for my party comrades, like I feel all those people that just went with the stream, went with their government lines and the narrative in the pandemics, and now maybe they're trying to backpedal a little nowadays when it's gone clear how bullshit this all was with the vaccines and stuff. But this is simply for me a sign of really feigheit and real just intellectual dishonesty. Bankruptcy. They really bankrupt the people who just went with this government stuff and narrative in the pandemic. They can't take them anymore, any serious. And sorry, people, but yeah. And so this pandemic, it was great because there we all had to put on masks, and there you don't even look into the other one's face, so you don't. So this is a great, great base for our alienation even growing further, and we all can feel even further apart from everyone else. And this is even something being brought to us as something morally good, to be distancing yourself from your neighbors and everyone around. So this is so interesting what I mean, that we're all living in our bubbles, in our separate bubbles, and don't even dare to talk, to tell the other one the real opinion. Like, yeah, in the pandemic, of course, in Germany, we had all those measures were pretty strict, also on a world scale. The lockdown's not that strict, but they dragged on for years. That was the difference to other countries. And the reason why this happened, in my opinion, is that people are too scared to even, yeah, tell the other one, their friends, their family, about, yeah, that how bullshit this is, what the government tells us, and all those rules, and that no one really believes in them, no one sticks to them, but it's all fine because we know somehow it's morally the correct thing to do. And those stupid protesters, they're Nazis or right-wing people protesting, and everyone going there is a fascist or is supporting fascist. And once this narrative sticks, no one sticks to all of the heads, no one even tries, no one dares to speak up and criticize this government policy. But okay, so yeah, so yeah, where was I? Rambling on. I also would like to develop a British accent. Right, it's cool. The British way of writing the abbreviation for Mr. is without the point. Therefore, I put it in the last episode title like this. Mr. without the point, because that would be American. Mr. or Mrs. Yeah, just as a side note. But okay, find it more beautiful this way. So yeah, we don't even look the other one in the eye and tell them what we think. And this, yeah, sorry, lamentably with your roommates, it's this way. I'm podcasting here and you're staying there right beside me, but the wall separating us, and I wouldn't even dare to tell you this straight to the face. And wow, this is crazy, right? But this is an illustration about all of society. We live in our bubbles, and yeah, so live in our bubbles. And for example, 2014, I mentioned this coop in the video on Instagram I made at my parents' house. This coup against Yanukovych was the guy's name, the legal president who was unconstitutionally removed. But the point is, well, which narrative sticks? The one, on one hand, we have the universe A or dimension A, the same no gender, where they say this was a great democratic revolution and we're finally growing and developing our democratic institutions after 2014, and this has been a huge jump into the future, to a bright progressive future for Ukraine, and Putin now wants to stop this. Yeah, this is one narrative, or the other one is this was a US-backed coup, financed and directed, targeting somehow Russia. Somehow there's a cruel strategic ploy behind it that has to do with world domination, imperialist strive for annihilation, right? Annihilation, domination of other countries, or tearing them apart, getting Ukraine out of the zone of influence from Russia, weakening Russia. And somehow, yeah, so this is dimension B, and for me it's clear that this is the reality I'm living in, or this is the truth that I'm supposing. And yet you have to somehow set your starting base to know from where you're going. And this is not like an eternal truth, like can't be 100% sure, but at least my point is that I don't go back to explain and to go to criticize the mainstream narrative and then tell what's wrong about it. No, simply suppose this, it's wrong, it's created for the purpose that people like my parents, rich and satisfied people here in Germany, can live their lives and not think about the cruel reality outside, or thinking that, yeah, it's okay, war is going on, but somehow it's not our fault, it's not our government's fault, this doesn't have to do with us so much, but more with Putin, and it's really his actions and his fault that all this happened. But it has a lot to do with German policy and US policy, and this is all proven, the billions of dollars flown in there, and so this is nothing that I'm going to dispute. Of course you can come to me, we could have a discussion, and like to discuss with you, dear Ukrainian acquaintances, all of you, but simply in my podcast I'm starting from my own base of truth, and this is this, so dimension B. And yeah, I understand you, that you have a different outlook, and I don't judge you in any way. I'm so glad that you're here, that you could escape, and you don't have to be part of the war. And I also understand that you're kind of shy because of this whole situation that you're thrown in, being in a foreign country and your own country being taken apart, ripped apart. And this is, yeah, really frightening or horrifying, spine-chilling, blood-curdling, unnerving, daunting, eerie. Yeah, I looked up all these synonyms. Somehow I thought, yeah, I always feel frightened on Mondays because going back to work, and I explained this on Instagram. So therefore, nightmarish, spooky, creepy, sinister, and eerie. I like this. It's also part of Game of Thrones. This is one castle in the Eyries. So this is creepy. Creepy woman is ruling there. She's the Herzogin, or and. So 2014, maybe it sounds like an insult then to you now to say this is not such a great, colorful revolution, but in fact is a sinister ploy that wasn't even developed inside Ukraine. Yeah, there were also Ukrainian people fighting for it, but the main actors coming from the exterior having their own agenda, and not caring about Ukrainian lives, not caring a bit about dragging this country to war and sacrificing maybe millions of Ukrainian soldiers but only caring about weakening Russia and gaining a stronger spot in the world hierarchy, the world power hierarchy, for the US and for the allies, of course, for NATO, but also mainly for US. Also, of course, Germany and the Western European countries are losing out of the inflation and devaluation of currency. So it's also a fight between those fractions of the global bourgeoisie, the ruling class. But at the core, they have the same interests, and German bourgeoisie knows they have to side with the US. So there are clashes and differences of interests, but still their connection is really strong. And they're really acting as a unified entity in many ways, not in all. So yeah, and they were the main actors inciting this war and starting it, and therefore are to blame. And the war wasn't started by Putin, this is a fact. Like, it started in 2014, and people have been dying since then every year in the east of Ukraine. And yeah, so nothing more to say, just that why, dear roommates, couldn't I tell you this in January? Was about 20th of January when your dear friends came over from Moldova, or I don't know, I think they were also from Odessa, but one of them had Moldovan nationality, and this could have been the perfect time for telling you, because of course also you were telling me about your stance and you can't understand why your Russian relatives, you have relatives in Russia, you told me, why are they siding with Putin and not believing you? But because you are on the ground and have the real insight there, what's happening. But, you know, sorry that I couldn't tell you, but, you know, you never can have the real thing. This is about truth. Of course, if you see the missile there hitting, this is, yes, some real direct and dangerous perception that you get there, an experience. So yeah, there you have a real insight. But in general, we're all living like this, that we get our information from the media. So it's the same with the Russians or the Ukrainians, and you can't blame the Russians more for believing Putin than you blame yourselves. And yeah, Ukrainian or German masses of the plebs that they believe their own propaganda, their own media apparatus, which is of course the propaganda apparatus fostering the needs of the bourgeois rule, created to the end to support this rule and to drag it on and on till eternity, although it clearly is already ripe to be thrown to the garbage. As Lenin said, its main features of nowadays imperialism, modern imperialism, the highest stage of capitalism, is that it's rotten and foul and smelling like a rotten fruit and foulness, and yeah, somehow he talks about this. So this is being, yeah, kept alive, although imperialism would have died already if really frightening power structures, brutal and immoral powerful actors, like from the bourgeoisie with their military, like the US military, German, France, and economic power, the big monopolies, big industry and technology enterprises, who, yeah, in a way are the real actors and are the ones that are being guarded and protected by the state, which is the machinery, with the military that is created around them to secure that this way of producing can go on. So this way of exploiting, which which is an unfair way to the workers. And yet, although it was maybe not at all like the perfect utopia in the Soviet Union, it still was an important step in human development, in human history, that we can now look back to and learn from its achievement, and it's clear that the achievement is way bigger than the achievement of our nowadays democratic liberal states, who are just a facade for this brutal imperialist rule. And the main reason I couldn't tell you then in January is simply this winter stuff, this with my colleague, that back then all this problematic situation developed. We had been so nicely getting to know each other, been in contact every week at work until December, but then somehow, yeah, got some misunderstanding and communication problems. I don't even know what exactly went wrong, just that it really felt like it went wrong. But maybe not that much. Let's get to this later. Just, yeah, it went wrong. And in this phase, you want to grab on, hold on to the pain and suffering. This is the point about love. I feel you want to grab the pain and not let it go. And this is what I felt back then. And I felt, if I'm going to tell you about my political standpoint, then I'm going to talk about my podcast, or somehow I also would need then to talk about this girl, because she had rejected me this way and said that, yeah, communism was not at all this great as I thought. And I didn't want this, or didn't even want to talk about Soviet Union, even without bringing her in, because I felt, yeah, I wanted to hold on to this stab and this hurtful feeling that she'd done to me. And yeah, simply want to leave it like this. I don't know why, but want to think about her and take her seriously, and she's the only person I want to, and yeah, this has to do with this, that somehow I don't want to let the influence of other people then get into this love bubble. And this is what I was explaining with the bubble. In one dimension, one bubble, this 2014 is a great revolution, and in the other one it's a coup, an illegal act of overthrowing the republic, which of course also we communists aim at, but this was more a right-wing coup with many fascists also involved, which is clearly a fact, and it's not even disputed, right? But and even people in Ukraine noticed. I saw some survey that half of Ukrainians believe that, yeah, there are widespread Nazi opinions. There are Nazi standpoints, Nazi opinions, and people somehow identifying with this Nazi shit. It is very widespread in Ukraine. Or, yeah, it's just heard about this survey that many people in Ukraine see it this way, that it totally is this way. But the point is about this bubbles. Yeah, you live in this bubble. You can look into your colleague's eyes or face, but while this person is not part of your bubble, you're never going to tell them all. And those bubbles are so disconnected, doesn't even matter. We get our content on social media, and there we're good to go. The bubbles don't cross. And yeah, in a way, this is also good. This is also what I'm trying to do as a communist, of course. But just that the media structure is breaking apart, and we can't rely on it as we used to. To say, let's read the newspaper, and in the newspaper there's going to be everything relevant, and we have to stick to that as a basic truth. It's a good step that people are more prone to disbelief and being cautious. Just we have to replace those old public structures with something better. Therefore, I'm recording that many bits and bytes here because, yeah, you really gotta be a good competitor to those media monopolies, those shameful outlets. People, just let me finish up my point about this, that now you can complain about all this about me being siding with Putin and so on, but the point is that your country is clearly falling apart now. It's not even clear if it's going to exist this way after the war, if it's going to be split or maybe not entirely be brought into Russia. Maybe this wouldn't be possible, but just split or in several parts, or it's not clear what is even the future of Ukraine. And so all this 2014 stuff, yeah, at least you gotta say this is now in hindsight, for in retrospective, no, it's totally not that way. Like also Western Europeans made you poor Ukrainians believe that you were on a heroic path towards democracy and liberty, and they were totally playing you and deceiving you, and still are, and are effectively murdering those Ukrainian soldiers by sending all the weapons and artillery and tanks there. And Ukraine is not even that sovereign. I mean, what is Zelensky gonna do? He's not even sovereign, doesn't have his own money, has to lend it all from the IMF. So what can you do in such a situation, you know? What I mean, those idealist concepts about democratic institutions evolving, these are too idealist, and let's focus on the brutal, brute and raw material reality of today, that, yeah, it's really... bombs are being dropped and people are getting killed, and that this should make us think and also question this reality that is being normalized by media and, yeah, being made appear as if it's normal that the war is going on and you don't even think about peace talks and going to sit down with Putin and talking, and even if that means losing the land. But it's simply normal to say, yeah, let's go on for years, or I don't know what is the exit plan, but let's produce more tanks and artillery, and with that we're gonna solve it, and somehow Putin's gonna run out of it, although he's also some strong partners like China, like more than a billion people. So this is so surreal. This is clearly irrational, or rational only in a means of supporting the capitalist rule, making profits for those war companies, well, those tank and weapons companies, and also the raw materials producers or sellers, like profiting from the oil price increases. And then, of course, this imperialist geostrategy, of pushing back Russia, or somehow it can't be explained rationally, as I said in this video yesterday, can't be all just at some point capitalism needs to shoot. At some point it's not enough anymore to compete in pacific means. There's always a strive for dominating and ruining your competitors in capitalism. But yeah, there's a quite normal way, which in itself is also not that normal from a social standpoint. This is this everyday work we have to do, we the exploited proletarians, but still at least we don't get killed. But at some point it always gets to these heights in capitalism where someone has to shoot and get killed, and this is not going to be stopped. It doesn't matter this war or that, we have to overthrow the system. And Stalin, whatever he might have done, he never started a war. Well, he invaded there, Poland, because he was just protecting, making sure that Hitler couldn't pass. He was preparing for the war against Hitler, which he knew Hitler was going to try to attack Soviet Union. So Soviet Union never started a war. Of course, there was Afghanistan. But yeah, I don't know a lot about it. This is one singular case. This can't be compared to a war like Vietnam, from the US killing the Vietnamese by millions through those toxic chemical substances, also in this cruel way, leaving marks on generations. Children being born even today are discapacitated still from this. So this is totally such a new scale of brutality and inhumaneness. And Afghanistan, yeah, it was a war. The Soviet Union tried to help the revolutionaries, tried to establish a socialist republic there. It couldn't be done against the Taliban, who were also supported by the US. It could always retreat into the mountain. This era, the geography is also always very important in war. It's impossible to win then in such a country with such mountains. And yeah, so this is not at all comparable from my standpoint. It's clear. It's kind of true. The Soviet Union never started a war. It's never that clear, black or white, but this is a valid standpoint. And the US and with its allies like Germany started so many wars or incited them, like in Yugoslavia or Afghanistan. And wow, this is really, if you compare those two systems, then you gotta come up with this conclusion that there's no doubt about which one to choose. But now, I think I've treated this whole topic now. Wanted to explain this somehow, and I'm talking really slow today because I want to find the right words, the right lines, the right lines, like in chess, next moves. And I saw a beautiful game between a Ukrainian and a German chess player, two female players playing there, and the German had a large advantage when I left at work. I was watching there again. So this German player, Elisabeth Petz, against Anna, don't know her last name, but some Anna from Ukraine. And wow, what a great match. I don't know, probably the German woman won, but it's never quite sure until the end. There can always be a blunder, but the computer showed she had a large advantage, and there was one chance for the Ukrainian player, but she didn't see it. There was one line, yeah, when the the Bauern im Schach, the pawns, she just should have moved the pawns, two pawns away, and then her bishop would have threatened the king of the German player, and this would have been a huge threat and a mess for her to get out of this situation. But Ukrainian player, low on the clock, she didn't have much time left, didn't see this line or didn't come up with this plan, and therefore let this chance slip away, and the German could hold her advantage. But let this slip away. Good point about you, Winter. You were there at the office, of course, today. And I wanted to stop with these erotomatic love podcasts, but what I thought was that, yeah, pain is also a part of joy, of course. This is my theme. Keep coming back to it, but feeling separate now, still not finding this line where we can finally get back to talking. But yeah, this is also could feel even greater than, because it's something abnormal, not so normal. And we're so young, I mean, we can be friends or anything, but for many years, and yeah, get to know each other deeper. And but why not enjoy also this phase now, where this feels totally weird and don't even know if you're listening, just suspect somehow that you're taking note of my publications there. And I complained about you not greeting me on Instagram, but yeah, in some way I feel this is also proof for involvement and connection or exposition. We're exposed to each other in this way. And I don't know. We need time to get to know ourselves, right? This is what my ex-girlfriend wrote me. Why she wanted to separate, also that she thought I needed this time to get to know myself. And she's right about this. I totally feel it. Yeah, it was right. And maybe I got to know myself a little better, but also need to go on with the stuff I analyzed last time about the wheat cast and how can you be dignified of this great love of my life. Wheat, how can I control my love for it and my lust? And yeah, once maybe this has been found out, then I could again think also about some practice in love and not only these theoretical approaches that I like to come up with here. I am a little slow today. I think I know why. So the point being, you also need this winter, you're so young. And I don't know how this feels for you, but at times it felt really hurtful for me. And yeah, but you need this, right? Was mich nicht umbringt, macht mich stärker. What doesn't kill me makes me stronger. And maybe there's a fear also in both of us that it would be then too ordinary and banal or mundane or boring when our harmony is re-established. It was so harmonic, of course, but maybe this is more exciting, right? This play. And yeah. But therefore, this is the point where I told you in number 150 that you can also text me, because I feel this would maybe take off the edge, the pressure. Because in the office, thinking about this, one day you could approach me or the other way around. It always feels like a big step, like a huge enterprise. Oh, this would be disrupting the whole normalcy, the whole flow of everyday life. And therefore, maybe it would be easier to plan it like this. Yeah, like let's go out for lunch, or let's simply talk at this time. I will come to see you at your place or you at mine at this or that time. And then some of this, therefore I told you this already back then, that I feel, yeah, while you keep there blocking me on Telegram, somehow we somehow both expect this, that somehow our harmony could be reignited, the flame of our mutual kindness and affection could be rekindled, reignited. And but how is it gonna happen? We don't know the lines, the moves, how to get there. So in the long run, yeah, all this pain is also proof that it shouldn't be prolonged artificially, right? But what is artificial? When do you know that it's enough, that it's been enough time to get to know yourself, to explore this crazy, crazy path, indirect path over the podcast and then back to you, or over those media bits and bytes? Never know. I don't know. So yeah, I guess I've worked down my list here of my notes that I took, and there's nothing else to say. It's just one more point about pressure, about you pressuring me, Winter, yeah, with your feminine powers, that maybe I didn't understand and therefore wrote in this Hiku text that, yeah, a woman should really pressure me and what you do is not enough. And yeah, in a way, of course, I feel this, but I guess I also feel a lot of pressure, and therefore, actually, it should be enough, or it should be at least the proof that you're really blunt and dominant, strong, exercising your will, your power over me, in a way, and but I feel that I've already talked too much, and I'm talking so slow today. It's a weird feeling. Oh, bro, what's happening? So I want to read a text to you, Winter, because all this... I mean, I keep repeating myself also, yeah. Why? Yeah, because I'm scared what might happen. This. But I also want to include the new listeners, in case my roommates or my comrades were informed just 10 episodes ago about my podcast. If they're listening and tune in, of course, they want to kind of re-establish the fundamentals of my theories that I've already laid out in earlier episodes. And what I want to do now is read something from a TSY show notes, so from a text that I left under some TSY episode just in this 1 week where I published them all. Not all, but there was only 1 week when I was really recording those English episodes for you. Maybe I should have kept going further. I mean, of course, there were other episodes afterwards, but not that, not like those TSY. I'm starting with number 6 and 7 over the weekend, and then each weekday, the next day, recording one. But just that, yeah, this was a unique rhythm back then. Maybe should have kept going, but felt, no, too much under pressure, don't know what is normal right now. We already should have gotten back to talking. It's not normal, right? This can't be normal, but you feel you have to be normal, like to look into your father's eyes, your co-workers, your boss. What is he gonna see in me? And this is the problem. I feel that I could go on and be confident about this crazy love or friendship path, but then what is my family gonna think? Don't even have to know, but the virtual possibility that someone could look at me and judge me, my boss, oh man, what are you doing there in the podcast? This is the crucial point, what makes one so insecure. But no, you should simply go on and follow your desire. And yeah, if both of our desire is maybe to keep it like this for now, then it's maybe like this, and we should let it go this way. But let me read this. Have to come to an ending, I know, but... because there's lots of stuff that I could read. There's always material, but it has to fit. I wanted to read Platon, but I never get to it. Yeah, but let's read this text. I find it quite fitting for today. I don't know why, but simply, maybe you too find it, Winter. With this last video from Instagram, yeah, I wanted to backpedal then and say, tell you that there were no hard feelings, because I'd gotten a little angry about you not greeting me in the other video. But no, I wanted to tell you that, wow, makes me feel so good to have you back. Also you other German co-worker, because then I feel simply better, more at ease in the office and working there. And yeah, so, but let's dive into this text. TSY number 7. Say it loud and say it clear. Refugees are welcome here. That was the slogan I picked up on the workers' march in Stuttgart. So this was after May 1st, the big workers protesting, workers' day march, protesting against the humiliation and exploitation of workers here. So many jobs are underpaid, like maybe not software developers, but so many other jobs. And even in our firm, of course, being at the bottom of the hierarchy of imperialism, such a small firm, I feel also underpaid. This is an outrage, so therefore we have to fight. But those marches, yeah, they're good, but they can't be enough. They are just preparation. We have to prepare that you can gather and connect to other people. I got to know another communist from a different party, MLPD. And this is good to prepare revolution, but it has to get there at some point. We have to take practical measures and not only protest and march. But, okay, so this was after I had been there on the march and I had become a real communist party member on this weekend also. There was not only the march, but also party meeting. And there I filled out the form and gave it to my superior, to the group organizer of our party structure there. And this was a big moment. This was a big symbol then, yeah, me being introduced there. So let's read on. The most important thing a society produces are the children it raises. Forms and instructs in how to live their lives and what is a normal, societally expected behavior. This is why, if we want to compare the results of imperialism, capitalism in its highest developed stage, and socialism as the once existing DDR, Soviet Union, or the countries of Eastern Europe, we mustn't compare the cars or computers produced in the US and the Soviet Union, but the young generations, the teaching system, not only in schools and university, but through all of the different aspects of life. How to love, how to look at each other, how to compete or share the socialist joy of working together, all those are aspects which come to be seen in a very different light by the young generations growing up in either a socialist or a capitalist state. There is a sharp pressure of needing to compare one's own achievements and to be winning against the competitors in capitalism, which hurts a lot of people and clearly prevents us all from realizing our potential or living the satisfying life we could be living if only the system was more focused and built around human needs rather than securing the bourgeois power and wealth. Right, it's about the abstract symbol of capital, the reproduction of it. It's in a way so virtual, it's a virtual game, doesn't even have to do with the material base, which what we all need, No, this is a byproduct. Some people are lucky, get a job, get paid good, and they can afford really a lot. But it's all a byproduct of this great capital reproduction play. It's a game, and it's intriguing for the mind, also for my mind. Therefore, watching those, following the stock markets, of course, this is so fascinating, moving up and down. And also, I resisted in a way. When I was 15 or 14, I began to read the newspaper, Süddeutsche Zeitung, a German newspaper from Munich, and began to read the economic parts of it and felt so intrigued and feeling, wow, this is the real thing. This is what's, you know, this is the thing that Kant talked about and also Plato, what lies behind all the ideas. That real thing, the appearances are only illusion, but what lies behind there is this real thing. And somehow this gives you the impression, this capitalist economy. Yeah, once you decipher that symbol of capital reproduction, how can you become such an astute capitalist yourself, exploiting the others and making so much profits by selling your products? Well, once you figure that out, then you would see through the matrix and would dominate all the world, and this is the real thing. This is the point why it's so hard to get to revolution, because this capitalist symbol has a really powerful grab on our minds, and it's hard to reverse. It takes generations, and therefore, yeah, focusing on the young ones, the older ones are already formed. It's not so easy for a human brain to be thinking anew, to overthrow your once established truth and some securities about a certain standpoint, a topic. Sureness. But let's move on. It is quite easy to see and understand how much superior this system in the East was by simply looking at some photographs and comparing the adolescents and the clothes they wore. In socialism, there is room for the individual emerging out of the monotony of equal uniforms, when everyone is looking almost the same or very similar from a formal point of view. There can emerge the perception of unique personal traits, lovely characteristics. In contrast, here in capitalism, the individualistic thrive to appear different in clothing, style, or simply in the things you do and define yourself by them is imposing a lot of harmful, unproductive pressure. It's the thing about the double knife pressure. But not every kind of pressure or tension is bad. Of course, this is alluding now to your pressure, which I feel also through your passive behavior. Both after Christmas and also before. Through this demeanor, you also put a lot of pressure on me. And maybe I can't handle this. Just, yeah, you have to help me. I'm so high, getting so high of this social interaction with you, and this is problematic. So, moving on. I don't want to go on like this forever, but it's nice to savor the moment and be feminine in this way, waiting for the person opposite to approach me. I really like you so much. It's this feeling I couldn't say anything when talking to you again, and only would want to hug you. But it might be too intense. Maybe it's a good plan to start looking at each other's eyes again, which I think we didn't do for so much time. Today I noticed something and assumed you had heard the last episode, which was an acceptable one. Today's episode is not that singular, but okay as an intermediate interlude. Zwischenspiel. Interlude or intermezzo. Of course, it would be great to move forward and see if we can have a conversation again and where that leads us. But I'm sure this will happen in the future and there is no rush. Besides, of course, I feel like it is much easier to make podcasts than actual steps in real life. Because this is what I'm used to. I recorded already over 100 episodes and this is nothing so challenging. I simply grab the microphone, start recording and something decent comes out of my mouth. But in direct conversations, I always wonder whether going too far, letting loose my discourse and potentially upsetting other people, wandering too freely to some aspects they might not feel appropriate. But with you, I never got this feeling and, well, I can't write so much today. This weekend has been tiring, but I can go on podcasting. And these podcasts are also real signs of love. It is easier and maybe a little coward to prefer to keep doing this rather than approaching you. But no, this is the right thing for the moment. And it's both of our choice. It's always two people deciding the course of a relationship. The same way I feel we are both the creators of these podcasts because all your provocations, gestures and traps because of all this. Yeah. Maybe you conceived this all along and made a plan to seduce me in your feminine way already last autumn when we first met. But it really doesn't matter who was seduced by whom, because it's so hard to even determine what is one's own will, what are your plans and intentions, and I can figure that out for myself. Only through all those months with these imaginative plays and of course the podcast since November, when I started talking about you, I have the feeling now I really know what I want. And this is an important lesson for all of you, dear listeners, that the discourse, no matter how irrelevant or marginal it might appear, always gives you strength, power, and certainty. So the discourse, the speech, maybe I overuse this term discourse, but I learned it from Lacan. And so it's the speech, the way of talking, your the rhythm of words that keeps unwrapping itself until the inner thing can be seen. It goes always on and it's something very strong. And this is the point, we tend to forget this because what we see in the media, well, it's targeting our brain to make us nod to the system. And it's not even that good, right? Therefore, people nowadays don't even watch that much news again anymore. Like my grandmother did. She used to sit there every evening. But yeah, I feel like my parents, they also watch them, but I have this feeling, like expressed in the video on Instagram, this is not good also for them. They're getting a bad feeling about everything, and how can they really enjoy their wealth when all those crises and wars are popping up there and the media can't really explain or hide them anymore? And this is not good. I also would like my parents to be happy. And simply, we have to discard their opinions because we know their opinions have been formed and shaped by capitalism, their characters. And it's too hard to change now, they're almost 60. But still, they deserve a happy life. The evening of the life, the Lebensabend, we say in German. But this is the ambiguous point I was trying to make then. That it's not possible, dude, in this framework. I know that they're gonna feel bad about politics and I don't want to crush them, don't want to discuss so much with them, and of course, and bring in my rejection of this liberal land we're living in, or the liberal doctrines They're also nodding. But the point... So yeah, let's move on. I just brought this in this text for something that I wanted to read out that is going to appear now, I think, in the next paragraph. But it's a decent text, I guess, yeah? Also in other aspects. But let's really focus our attention now. You only know what you want once you start speaking. Can't figure it out all silently. Always gives you strength, power, and certainty. Maybe a monologue like my podcasts, talking to oneself, is even better to really speak honestly from one's soul. You have to pick up the thread of words using your voice and let it disentangle the paradoxical thoughts that might be raveled inside your conscience, dreams, and beliefs. Huh, complicated words here. Raveled. But disentangled is quite clear. Yeah? Entangling is a Verstrickung. Two things get mixed up together, so impossible to divide again. And disentangling, yeah, this is then this division, maybe this sharpening and seeing clearly again. I only want to believe what you believe is adequate. I want to take you into my arms and stroke your beautiful hair, kiss your grandiose head that is hiding so many valuable thoughts and emotions I would like to explore. Your head is like a magnificent cave, a noble castle on a hill, or a stunning mountain range on the horizon, dazzling the viewer. It gives me the feeling of wanting to protect you, and your abundant treasures you hold embrace you and never let go. So I looked up some of these words, of course. I didn't come up with them myself. But these metaphors, of course, that your head is so grandiose. And back then I felt like, wow, can I really write this, or is this going too far, talking about kissing your hair? But it felt like, yeah, I want to do this. You should follow your desire, right? Therefore, get it all out. I mean... that you're really an obstacle for me. I can't get past this once I see you or your hair. What should I do or think now? Moving on. Now, these podcasts are for summer and winter. The two foreign girls I feel so connected to. However, love and polyamory are paradoxical, and I sense they are at the core only for winter, because it is the change of the season that commits you to be only focused on the now, the present, and the current state of one's heart. This exclusiveness is at times needed to prepare the big synthesis that might come after. To be truly loyal, one might at times even have to be illoyal. But these confusions are part of love, which is the greatest work of all, and a resource through which we all exist and came into being. Of course, this is also a gift for summer, my very special bird that flew here from far south. You made me experience and realize so much about love, the most important things, and I will always be grateful for that. Just the very trigger that provoked all the chaos in me leading to these podcast outbreaks was winter. But still, in my view, there is no real clear line to be possibly drawn between two loves, because everything is entangled and the feelings and reactions interfering in one's one's mind from a first love experience also create, distort, or enable the following experience. Wow, complicated stuff. Distorting, Fat 7. It would not be possible to love without learning. There need to be mistakes and desperate situations in order to reflect and become wiser or even more beautiful through the pain caused by these failures, the battles fought that leave their impressions on us. So it is all a big socialist entanglement, impossible to untangle completely. There can be no individual in a naive way assuming this would be a complete and utterly self-sufficient person, not influenced by its surroundings. This would be death without the influence and inspiration from other people. We are nothing. Great finish for this text, because this is the point that socialism gets, and yeah, through all its failures, although it might also have failures and shortcomings, socialism as it really existed, but still, it's based on this principle, and it's the basic principle of life. If you're lonely, you're nothing. You can't even talk, no one listening to you. My podcast wouldn't even be possible if I didn't know, or at least suspect, another one could be hearing. But yeah, I gave it all, and I feel already went on too long. Let this grow. Oh man, too vast again, this podcast. Have to stop really quickly, really in a short time. And there's nothing more I can give you. I can tell you, only that I'm scared because of this exam I have to take, but yeah, I guess what gives me confidence are those videos. They show me I'm a real person, and so yeah, I can pass them. Or even if I fail, I mean, what's gonna happen? I won't get fired, and yeah, it'd be like make me feel a little ashamed in front of my boss, but man, I can't do everything. I also have some private stuff going on here, private problems or things that are ambiguous, double knifed, and therefore this all influences me, and I can't deliver that much, can't perform to the point at work. And yeah, this is the matter of fact for today. So dear listeners, thank you, thanks. This feels a little weird, this episode, yeah, because so calm, so tranquil, and the last one was so riled up. Wow, on Saturday, of course, I was excited, also because of this communal house meeting. Always gets you high, being in a social situation, and there in a room with 7 people, wow, how high does this get you then, right? So, I mean, maybe this explains, yeah, the last episode. So, just let me say one more thing about Instagram, about the videos, that life from one second to another, it seems so exciting. Once you start a video or you watch a video, you feel like this person is having so much fun in the video. And there's a huge fraction, a gap, a trench between the viewer and the publisher on Instagram, I feel, even more than in the podcast, because here we're all kind of equal in a way. Yeah, also, although I'm the producer and speaking and you're only listening. But no, it's different. In Instagram, you feel this person is leading such a happy, fulfilled life, and what am I doing really with my life? I mean, this is maybe the impression, I don't know, I don't use Instagram a lot, but if you see those people there, those influencers like me, also now becoming an influencer maybe, then I get this feeling, this guy is having such an exciting life. But the point is simply, it has to do with my text that I wrote here. Yeah, without other people, we're nothing. You have to be seen, you have to speak, and also language is only a tool to get into contact with other people, to organize with them, to in evolution, of course, it was more practical to work together this way, to go hunting this way, working together was then what made us strong and superior to other species. Also those other human species, there were like six species of humans. They were all kind of human, called Homo sapiens, but they died then, were extinguished. And the main reason maybe was that they were not that social, not developing their social bonds or language. But I don't know a lot about this, just some hypothesis my brother told me about. And so yeah, you have to be like this. And in Instagram there you see someone giving a speech, someone being in this position. But this, the toxic thing then about liberalism, there it makes you always feel comparing, like, yeah, it's this person that has now this great capital of being able to talk so much, and it's not me. And there can never be such a socialist experience that you could have in a Soviet Union, like in Komsomol or in any kind of socialist group, that everyone is working together, or at the firm, at the worker meetings and so on, that everyone is included, and although one might be up the ladder and giving a speech there, but still, it's totally different, or at least this is my hypothesis, that Instagram and those videos, they create really also an abyss between viewer and creator. And yeah, but my point is only this, that every time you start talking, it makes you feel so happy in a way. And this then explains also everything, this harmony between Winter and me. Yeah, because we're so natural to talk between us. But it doesn't even have to do with our individuals, our persons, just that we use this tool of language and therefore experience something very fulfilling. I felt like, yeah, we somehow belong together because there's such a harmony and mutual understanding. And so, yeah, I mean, this is the thing, you start talking to someone or even talking alone and then uploading it for other people to watch. It always gives you the impression, wow, there's so much happening. So much happening. This is not boring. This is exciting. And yeah, but these are my thoughts. And with this, I really gotta end for today and say goodbye. Bye bye. Speaking here without many gestures, just now trying to use some gestures because I'm reminded of Instagram and thinking like, yo, dude, should use this all the time, although no one sees it, but never mind. And with this, thanks for listening. Goodbye. So this is, again, Tears Wide Red, again, only English. Bye-bye, until next time, here.